This is Market Insights, the Market Pulse podcast by Oanda.
I'm Johnny Hart. This is the Market Insights Market Pulse podcast. Let's join Trader Nick in the United States for the latest on the markets. Good afternoon from London, Nick. Good morning to you.
Hey, Johnny. Good morning.
Now, of course, on Friday, we would normally have had the non-farm payroll numbers this Friday coming. But of course, the government shutdown means there's no such thing happening. So these ADP numbers, which we've had today, are pretty important, aren't they, really? And, well, they've showed some positivity in terms of US hiring. And in fact, it's the first time since July that hiring has risen.
Yes, that's right. And especially in an environment where we are missing some of the government reported data, right? We've been delayed on several reports, of course, notably the non-farm payroll number. That actually made, I think, today's ADP non-farm employment change, the private payroll stuff, I actually think that that became more of use to the market, more important today than it even usually is. Not to say that it's not usually important, but this was definitely kind of in a void of data. This becomes all available data becomes more interesting. So the ADP non-farm employment change number today came in at 42,000 jobs added. That was above forecast at 32,000. And remember, the previous one was negative. So definitely welcomed by the market to get a number in positive territory and one that was above forecast. We know that the Fed is back and forth. I mean, Powell himself has kind of mentioned the somewhat split, somewhat diverging committee members. Some believe that it's more important to focus on inflation at this time, and others feel more poised towards administering to the jobs market. So today we at least get some data that suggests that the jobs market may be okay, which definitely was welcome in the eyes of the market. In terms of price reaction, you can see that the dollar index, at least at the time of recording this, is above the 100, back in triple digit territory. That is the DXY, trading at 100.27 this morning. Dollar is strong against most of its peers. We can see trading strong against the euro. Pound is actually a little strong here this morning, but against things like the Japanese yen and the Swiss franc and the Canadian dollar, the US dollar, looking pretty strong here. After a recent bout of strength, the dollar has been strong following both of the previous two major FOMC press conferences from Jerome Powell. We have heard kind of this higher or more hawkish than expected Powell and team. And so I think that more data like this kind of bolsters that. Speaking of more data, we also got this morning the ISM services PMI number. Again, always an important figure, but even more so important when we are operating sort of with one eye shut in this government shutdown period. ISM services PMIs came in at 52.4 compared to a forecasted 50.7. That is a noticeable and significant beat in terms of services PMIs. Also noting that previously we were at 50 on the dot for 50.0 for ISM services PMI. So a little bit of better than anticipated data here this morning, which the dollar is again slightly up on here at the time of recording this. And again, likely suggests that the U.S. economy is at least for now not falling out of the bottom. So it looks like we may see some continued debate back and forth. I mean, right as we got on the podcast, Johnny, you mentioned this may be a little bit of a difficulty for interest rates in the U.S.
I'm a little bit confused though, Nick, because these figures, these ADP numbers suggest that the economy isn't doing as badly as perhaps some of us thought. The jobs market is reasonably positive. We were concerned that we didn't have the data from the lack of non-farm payroll numbers, and this has come out today. Having said that, bearing in mind this would make an interest rate cut in December less likely, markets have reacted reasonably positively today. So can you explain why that might be?
Well, I think part of this, Johnny, is that it goes back to a phrase that I think is important to the Federal Reserve, but more so even important to risk assets, which let's think about, is the Fed's next move likely to be a rate cut or is it likely to be a rate hike? And the answer pretty clearly is it's likely that they're going to cut rates. So that part of that question is, okay, well, next step is they're going to cut rates. Might be in December, might be in next year. But the point is the path of the Fed is still to ease. At the same time, the jobs market not falling apart is a shoulder lifted off of the worries of the economy. So Goldilocks is this idea where actually, if you go back and look in the 90s, when you had the 1995 into 2000, when you had the tech, the dot-com bubble that eventually blew up, before that happened, we had a really good period of time where interest rates were coming down very gradually in the US. Why are they coming down gradually? Because the Fed feels that they can do them, but doesn't feel the need to drastically do it. And so I think, at least for now, the data is suggesting that interest rates can continue to come down if that long-term inflation projection that the Fed keeps indicating does kind of play out. If we do see it trend back down towards 2% over the longer term, Fed can continue to cut rates, but it's icing on top if they can cut interest rates, not because they need to save something, but because they can. And that is the big difference. I think the stock market is saying, hey, you know, we're going to get rate cuts. That's no problem. But do we even need them to save the day? Not really. So, you know, the market is kind of celebrating this Goldilocks era, it seems, where jobs data seems to be holding up. The economy is still seeing growth. The AI run is going on. And meanwhile, the Fed is not threatening rate hikes.
I want to ask you about what happened yesterday, though, Nick, because we didn't get a chance to speak. And we did see some big drops in companies connected to AI and indeed to cryptocurrency as well. But things have recovered today.
Yes. Specifically, I think you were maybe thinking about what took place with Palantir, which, of course, kind of the crown jewel of the AI rally has been this stock, which I think led the downside move yesterday. They reported earnings, and it was a really big beat, both in earnings and in revenue and in forward guidance, meaning everything looked good and the stock dropped big. That is quintessential of a very hard to please bull market. And that seems to kind of be in the environment that we're in. So Palantir put up some really impressive growth metrics. The problem is it's a very speculative name in a very speculative story, which is the AI, you know, run. Sure, AI is going to change the world. We know that. That's very clear. We're all using it in our lives, most of us at least, to some extent, even if you don't realize you're listening right now to a podcast, which probably used AI to help find you. You know, it's one of those things. We're all kind of using it, whether we know it or not. But the question is, just like past technologies, can new technologies get overhyped? Absolutely. And new technologies, people can assume it's going to change the world tomorrow, whereas maybe the changes that we're thinking are 10 years away. It's hard to say exactly. But again, I think minor changes are taking place, but does that justify the types of valuations people are putting on companies? That's the great debate within, you know, the Silicon Valley tech trade right now. The thing, though, is the sell-offs in these environments are very sharp because of the nature of these valuations. We have companies valued very high, and any little blip, any little misstep from anything that earnings reports have to deliver. We saw the DeepSeek rally, if you remember, Johnny, you know, or not the rally, but the fallout, right? One little thing from China comes along. If China says, hey, we're not buying US chips, boom, down goes the market very quickly. It is a hypersensitive story because yes, it is a phenomenal technology, but it is priced for, in my opinion, even more than you know, the current potential that we can kind of more obviously see. It's very, very speculative, very exciting. Again, not disputing the technology is remarkable, but I think markets are very sensitive to anything that disrupts that perfect picture story.
Very interesting. Nick, thank you very much indeed. We'll speak again on Friday. We will, of course, reflect on the Bank of England's rate decision, which happens on Thursday. But until then, thanks for joining us and have a good evening.
Thanks, Shawnee. You too.
Market Insights, the Market Pulse podcast by Oanda.